Today, just a brief message for us here on the big screen. In the first service, well, which was the second service, I'm confused, we did the case for the resurrection. And if you'd like to get that, I'm sure it'll be on DVD, and it just sort of lays out some facts, and I think that it'll also be on the big screen so you can see it as well. But we went over three things, and I'd just like to say them real fast. Roger, go ahead and put up on the screen for us. Number one fact of the resurrection is Jesus was dead. Can't have a resurrection unless Jesus was dead. And he was dead. We went over that. And, you know, some people say he swooned. He went through all that torture and pain and punishment. Somehow they put him in a tomb, but he really wasn't dead. He came forth. That is insanity. And you have to deny the teaching of the Word of God and common sense. The crucifixion was execution. It wasn't you put somebody on the cross, put nails in their hands and in their feet and spear in their side and then pull them down and say, now don't do that again. It was a deterrent, all right. It ended right there. We're done. Okay? It was a means of execution. He was dead. The second thing we saw is that the tomb was empty. There's absolutely no one in the Scripture. The Pharisees, the Roman authorities, his enemies, no one contended that the tomb was not empty. Now, of course, they paid money and told the Roman soldiers, the chief priests gave them money, told the Roman soldiers, say that his disciples came and stole the body. And they also said, you know, when the governor gets wind of this, we'll cover your back if you cover ours. But there was no contention that the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. And quite frankly, friend, I mean, you know, it was a big event. This crucifixion, no, they did hundreds of thousands of crucifixions, the Romans did. They were professional executioners. However, this was a high-profile case. Do you understand that? All eyes were on this case. All eyes saw this happen. And they knew where the empty tomb was. It was verifiable. Skeptics could go over there and say, tomb's empty. That's right, Earl. Tomb is empty. I saw it. You said, it's all empty. Okay? Number three. Jesus was seen alive. Actually, in Scripture, after careful study, you'll see that 17 groups or individuals saw the risen Savior. Not one. No, 500 at one time. 1 Corinthians 15. 500 at one time that saw it. And this was written, 1 Corinthians 15, was written while these people were still alive. And the writer, the Apostle Paul, said, call them. Go see them. Talk to them yourself. It's verifiable. Jesus was seen alive. And see, you're just going to have to deal with that. Okay? You just can't put it out. Well, I'm not sure, it's a myth. Friend, he was seen alive. And it's up to you if you want to have faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God or not. But that is the facts. And we are left with the facts. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Romans 10, I might quote it later if it comes up on the screen, but Romans 10, 9 said, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be a Christian if you believe. That's what the Bible says. And so the resurrection is central to our having faith and our having a relationship with God. I mean, how would you feel? I've told people before, if I gave my son, Mitchell Clark, to die for you, and somehow you said, well, I don't want to do that. I believe I'll just work for my religion. I'll just put a buck in the offering plate and come up that way. Tell you what, if I was in charge, you wouldn't get in. And I made his image. And I don't believe God's going to have it that way. We know that. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one way, Jesus Christ. He died, it happened, and there you go. You're left with that choice. Will you believe in him or not? Will you, or will you be like many disciples who turn their back and walk the other way? As for me, I'm going to serve Jesus. I want to serve him. And here's what the case of the resurrection, because of the resurrection, does for me. It gives purpose for my life. The resurrection gives purpose for my life. And you might want to jot these down or get the DVD, or you can always ask for the notes if you'd like. We'd be happy to send things along your way. But we want to go now with the message this morning. And hopefully it's not going to be long. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures, Raj, and you and I will pass through some, okay? The resurrection gives purpose for my life. Can you say that? The resurrection gives purpose for my life. And here's purpose number one. Here it is. Since Jesus arose from the dead, he's alive today, and I'm able to know him personally. Amen. See, if he didn't rise from the dead, I couldn't know him personally, because he's dead. You hear me? But since he did, I can know him. I can know him personally. He is
John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Say this with me. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. My question to you is the question he gave her. Believest thou this? Resurrection. He's alive. I can have a personal relationship with him because he's alive. Another verse. We just quoted it. If you'll confess in your mouth Jesus and believe in your heart that what? God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and have supper with him and he with me. Jesus said to Peter, to the disciples on the shore in John 21. Remember those three words he said? Come and die. And he says that to you today and to me. Because he rose, I can have a personal relationship. Let's look at another. We're moving. Purpose number two. Since Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, he can open the door of eternal life for me too. Does that make sense to you? I mean, if he had come off a loser, I wouldn't have been able to go to heaven. But guess what? He won. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And because he did that, he can open that door to heaven for me. See, friend, you can't do that for yourself. You just can't. You need to come to that place in your life where you say, man, that's nutty. I can't look at me. I can hardly get up out of bed. Work a week. You know what I'm saying? I can hardly do anything. And somehow I get myself to heaven? Listen, he opened that door for you. Revelation 1. And when I saw it, this was John in the book of Revelation. He appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I fell at his feet. He's dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, be fear not, I am the first and the last. And then he said this, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And say this part right here, and have the keys of hell and death. Who you know gonna get you in? Isn't that good grammar? My wife gets on me all the time. I milked a bad grammar for all this work. I'm sorry. Who you know is going to let you in? Huh? Jesus has the keys. Since he defeated death, hell, and the grave, he can open that place up for me. Amen? That's a purpose for my life. And because of the resurrection, he gives me that kind of purpose. Look at verse 12, 1 John 5. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life. Period. Look at the third purpose this morning. We're just moving. Since he has divine power and authority, he has the supernatural ability to guide me, to help me, and to transform me as I follow him. Amen? Since he has that supernatural power where he can be crucified and buried and come forth out of the grave, he has the power to help me. He has the power to change me. Transform my life. Do you understand? But I mean, if you're out there without Jesus in the resurrection, you're just drifting. You're whistling Dixie. It ain't happening. You see what I'm saying? Get to the power source. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Boy, amen. Is that purpose or what? Look at Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God can give you purpose. He wants to give you purpose. It all hooks back into the risen Lord. The fact that we have a risen Savior. Purpose number four. Don't think there's like 55 purposes. You'll be all right. Here we go. Some of you are like, oh my gosh. Since Jesus knows what it is personally to suffer pain and experience loss, he can comfort me and encourage me in my suffering. Do you know that? I mean, this is great. Look at these verses. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised and rejected. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Look at Hebrews. How about Jesus suffering? And because he suffered, he could comfort me and help me in my time of loss and hurting. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, say it with me, by the grace of God should what? Taste death for every man. He did that for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hebrews 4. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, hallelujah, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Are you hearing? Do you find what I'm talking about? Why all the hoopla? Why all the big deal on Easter? Why all the big deal? That's what it's all about. You understand? Now the resurrection is nothing. Okay? A lot of people were crucified. Only one was God's Son who came forth victorious out of the grave.
Amen.
He gave us purpose for our life. You're here today, you're hurting, you're wondering, why am I here for? What's the purpose for my life? It all comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And putting your faith in Him, instead of arguing with it, bow the knee. And start right there. Well, I don't understand. That's all right. He just says, believe. Start right there. You can be changed today. Phenomenal. You can leave this place with peace and hope today. Look at number 5. Since Jesus loves me, and He does, He has my very best interest at heart. I have nothing to lose and everything to gain by committing myself personally to Him. Isn't that great? Let me tell you something, friend. Jesus doesn't want anything out of you. He came to save you. That's why He came. Do you think while He was in heaven, He had things pretty good? Say, I think things are going just fine up there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, the whole don't need a physician to sit there. And you need to see yourself that way as sick. I'm sick. I'm sorry. I can't go anywhere. I can't go to heaven. I can hardly make the cross down. Go to heaven. On my own? You need to realize that. You need to realize that. Do you know that in your heart today? I know I'm driving that horse hard. I know. It's what you need. It's what I need today. Listen, He loves you. Look at these verses. This was my mama's favorite verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But look at these verses. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with all, with Him also freely give us all things? Look at this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Listen, it's God that justifies. Who is He that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that's risen again, who's at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Say it with me. Read it with me. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Tell you what. I have nothing to lose. And everything to gain. By putting my trust and faith in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that. I really believe in what I'm telling you. Okay? You might say, that preacher man, he don't know much. And you're probably right. But you'll not leave this place today. If you do, you're wrong. You leave this place today saying that man doesn't That man might not know us, but he sure believes in Jesus.
Amen.
He believes in Jesus. I'm just going to bank it all on Jesus. Joy's daddy, Pastor Matt's taught me this. He had a struggle in his life of doubt, disbelief, as he was preaching the gospel and being a pastor, and it can happen in your life. My mother was murdered 11 years ago. I know what it is to question and doubt and struggle. But he had a real bout. He had taught me this before that event, thank God. Amen. But he went out in the woods, I think out here in old Palmetto Patch down here towards Fort Myers somewhere. And he said if he was going to be a preacher and he was going to continue, he was going to bank it all on Jesus Christ. Everything. 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 Everything in that book is true. If I'm going to preach it, I'm going to believe every single bit of it. And I didn't fall far from the tree. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what I believe. I want to encourage you today. Believe in Jesus Christ. Put your faith there. Even if you don't understand. I don't understand. I still struggle with the virgin birth. You hear me say that all the time. You know? Sure, I struggle. Yeah, I don't know how someone can come out of the tomb victorious. Unless he's God. Amen? And that takes us to the next point. And we're done. This is it. We're finished. A great sign. Hey, man. Here we go. Purpose 6. Since Jesus is who he claimed to be, the eternal God, then he rightly deserves my allegiance, my obedience, and my worship.
Amen.
Friend, you'll not find anybody else like Jesus. You're not going to find anybody else like you. Did you know of all the major religions in the world, Jesus Christ is the only one who claimed to be eternal God? They all, other ones just claim to be a representative of this great higher power. So Jesus said, no, excuse me, I am God. And I know that's hard. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three in one. Yeah, boy, that'll boggle your mind. But Jesus said, I am God. He proved it by his love, by his life, by his death, by his resurrection. And we should fall down before him. We should give him allegiance. We should give him obedience. We should honor him. We should worship him. It's a choice we make. And I encourage you to make that choice 2005, Easter Sunday morning. A couple of verses, we got gobs of them, but we can't go through them all. Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But watch this. Since he did it, not watch this. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him. He's given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should what? Bow. Things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess. Say it with me. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Just a couple other quick scriptures. Revelation. I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and him, the Son of Him, was called faithful and true. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew, but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That takes us to John. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. See, he said, I'm God. I created you. I love you. I died for you so you could live. Then finally, he said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last day. Well, it was tough talk to these disciples. They didn't understand that. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eats this bread shall live forever. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at the same, he said unto them, does this offend you? And maybe that's how you feel today. Old Clark's offended you somehow by the word this morning. Here's what those when they heard all this, John 6:66, very unusual verse in the Bible. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. When he was talking about his death and his dying for them, they turned. They couldn't take it. Then Jesus said unto the 12, the closest to him, will you also go away? And that is what says first in the Bible. Will you also leave me? Here's what Simon Peter said. Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? We ain't got no place to go. You're the only way. That's my question to you today. If you don't trust Jesus, then who are you going to trust? You? Don't trust me. Well, I'll let you down in about 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Listen, who are you going to trust? Don't trust the church. How many have been let down by the church? Let's see a hand. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Who are you going to trust? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to find you a risen Savior? Thou hast the words of eternal life, Peter. Look at this. And we believe and are sure. Say this with me. That thou art the Son of the living God. Where are you at today? The resurrection gives purpose for our life. What say you today? Do you know the Lord? Do you know Him today? If you died today, boy, we've hit the hammer this morning, I think. Heard good music. Got your heart good and ready. I could feel like I was doing some good tilling this morning. Come on now. The word, I hope, has found good ground in your heart. You need to respond. You're in a wonderful place today on Easter Sunday morning. What say you? If you died today, do you know that heaven's your home? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I didn't ask you if you understood everything. But do you believe in Him? Best you know how. Can you put your faith and trust in Him? If not, you need to do that too. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for those that worked so hard to make this happen. Father, thank you for that energy and love that you put in our hearts to reach out to others. Thank you for the musicians that worked so hard to prepare a great service for us. Father, we pray you bless them. And Father, we especially pray you bless your word. May it just find good ground in our hearts all day long. Help us, God, we pray. Bless those who put their faith and trust in you, Father. Help us to be a blessing to them. Encourage them, Father, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.